I've been asked to preach on hope and faith, and how that actively works within our lives to truly just help us along in our lives as Christians. And I think before we start, we have to appreciate that you cannot see faith and hope as separate beings. What we need to see them is that they are actively working together in our life as Christians. Faith is the very substance of hope. And in turn, hope is what awakens faith within us. So you can see that these two objects of faith and hope are working together, and that is to help us renew our strength in the promises that God has given us. So my hope is that today when you walk away with a renewed confidence in God, a confidence that inspires you to believe in the promises that God has given, which then awakens or renews the purpose in your life. So if you can join me in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 16 to 27. Hebrews 6, chapters 16 to 20. And I've got it up here for you if you want to read. Just give you a moment to get up there. Now when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath, so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable, because it is impossible for God to lie. We who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. The hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor to our souls. So let's start talking about hope. Hope, before we get into hope, we've got to appreciate that hope is not a wish. You cannot get confused between hope and a wish. A wish is something that may or may not happen, subject to you having a fairy godmother. But we know that every word that is spoken by God comes to pass. So a wish, in essence, is hope without God. And building on that, we have to appreciate that we wouldn't have hope without God. It was because of God that he sent down his perfect son to come down to earth, to be crucified, to carry the burden of our sins. He was resurrected to defeat death so that we may live, that we may have a destiny beyond what is here. And we're not just speaking about our salvation as a destiny, but we're speaking about destinies on a daily basis, walking with God. It is because the veil was torn between sin and God, between us and God. Because of that sin, Jesus did that for us. We can have a relationship with God on a daily basis. And that essentially is key to what gives us hope. Hope is the expectation of things to come based on our trust in God. It is the expectation of what has been promised based on the trust in God. And in the text that we read, it said there that God can never lie. So we can trust God. God, in all essence, embodies truth. So the words that are spoken, the promises that he has for us, and the plans that he has for us will come to pass. And we can fix our hope onto those promises, knowing that he's not going to change his plans. He's not going to be like me, that when the weather changes, I'm going to say, I actually don't feel like going out today. Or I've got a meeting over here, so I'm going to have to change my plans that I have with you. God has promises for each of you. He has plans for each of you, and they will come to pass, and you can hold firmly onto that. And it is because of this trustworthy nature of God, in which we find himself, this rock solid truth that God is, that the verse continues to refer to hope as being a trustworthy, strong anchor for us, for our souls. Okay? So what is, I love the word of, I love the word an anchor, because if you think of an anchor, An anchor is a heavy mass, a heavy object which has got a hook, and usually what it'll do is it'll connect to the seabed, and when it, or it'll drag along the seabed. But the purpose of the anchor is to avoid the, or prevent the ship or the boat from drifting when there's currents, when there's winds, and when there's storms. The purpose of the anchor is not to prevent the storms, the winds, and the currents, but it's there to help hold the ship, hold the boat steady when it arises. And when you think that hope is our anchor that connects us to the almighty power of God, that gives us an amazing perspective of us being rock steady whenever adversity comes. So when you think of hope, hope is our anchor that connects to God. And if you find yourself today where perhaps you've lost hope, or you know someone who is distressed, they're going through illness, or they're going through some certain battle, I want to ask you, what is their anchor? What are they hoping for? Are they hoping that God will provide, or are they focusing on the things that are provided? Are they focusing on health? Are they focusing on riches? Are they focusing on a successful business? Are they focusing on having a baby? All of these things add up, and it's not to say that God doesn't want them for us. God wants to provide for us. But the reality is our focus needs to be on Him as a provider and not the provision. And when we have that perspective of focusing on the provider, we are purely focused on a God that is a perfect father that is providing for his child in a perfect way. He has plans for us. He has purposes for us. He has unique plans and unique purposes. The plans he has for me are very different to the plans that he has for country. And the plans that he has for country are very different to the plans that he has for Andrew, although they both got the same name. Where does the provider sit? The provider sits with God, having that relationship, him being a provider, and not focusing on the provision ensures that we also don't focus on what's been provided to others. So very often we walk around and we lose hope because I would see someone be successful in their business, or I would see someone having children, or I'd see someone building out their family, and I'm comparing to what's been provided provided to them, and losing sight of what God's doing in my life, which is a very important thing. So the key message there is focus on the provider, not on what is provided. 2 years ago, I started in a business. And I had hopes and dreams of where this business was going to be in 2 years' time. So I tracked it, and I said that this by July 2018, I just come around, it was the 7th of July in which I'd started. So this is where I'm going to be in 2 years' time. And this business was going to be successful in many levels. It was going to be successful in the customers that we had, in the products that we delivered. It was going to be successful in the amount of staff that we had, and where the offices were going to be. All of that in my mind was success. And how many of you here have ever had a hope and it actually become what you truly hope for? There's always something that is different. There's always something that changes, and adversity does come along. And we've had our fair share of challenges. We're working with legislation changes. We're working with lawyers that want to close our shop. We're working with customers who don't necessarily get our product. All of these things are wrestles that have limited me reaching my hope. And to be honest with you, I sometimes become despondent. I'm like, you know, what is the purpose of doing this? Mel can attest to it. Sometimes I get home and I'm like, what are we doing? And you get tired and you get weary. But if you realize my hope was in what was being provided, or what I expected to be provided, and my hope, I lost focus of what God was doing in my life. I lost focus of God using the season in this organization to mold my character, to mold me in ways in which He will be able to use for His plans, for His purpose. And as soon as I change my perspective away from looking at the things that I want, on the things that where milestones should be, and I rather focus on what God's doing in my life, slowly but surely this weight, this pressure of which I carry to see this organization succeed in the way it's supposed to be is lifted. I'm not saying God doesn't want to see this company succeed. But he's more focused on molding my character. God is more focused on developing your character than your present comfort. He wants to provide for you, but realize he's working on you so that he can use you for future plans. So when you think of hope, I want you to think of destination. And I don't want you to think of one destination as in just salvation, but I want you to think of destination as a series of destinations on a daily basis, slowly but surely unraveling the promises that God has in your life. Whether it be a child, whether it be a business, whatever it is, that is all the way leading to us eventually sharing eternity with God. So if you have the context of hope being the destination, let's focus a bit on faith. And the verse I'd like you to look at is in Hebrews 11 verses 1. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us the assurance about things we cannot see. Do you remember when you were young? And it was either the week in the build-up to Christmas, or it was the week in the build-up to your birthday. Either or, there was this amazing certain excitement that was associated with it. And there was also an anticipation. The certainty built excitement. The certainty was, you know, I'm going to get presents. I might get a cake. People might come around and we're going to have a party. There was this excitement because you were certain it was going to happen. Your birthday was coming and your parents set the expectation that this was going to happen. And you trusted that. So this certainty provided an assurance of something that was going to happen. On the other hand, you had this anticipation, because like with anything that is a birthday or Christmas, you've got this anticipation of some of the surprises that you don't know will happen. You know, it could be a surprise birthday party. It could be a gift that you didn't expect. Sometimes, and I think that's more often when you get a bit older, but you're always surprised by the people who will give you a call on your birthday. When it's like, this is, you know, you haven't spoken to this guy in a while and he calls you up. It's an amazing surprise. So if you think of Christmas and birthdays, and you can associate with that certain excitement, that assurance that something's going to happen. And on the other hand, there's an anticipation for the excitement. If you can picture that, then you can appreciate the two key pieces of faith. So faith is a certainty that God's promises are going to come to fruition, that God will honor his promises, and he will honor the plans that he has for you in your life. The plans that in Jeremiah verses 29, Jeremiah 17 verse 29, sorry, 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans that are to do good and not bad, not harm. Plans to give you a future and give you hope." When you appreciate that, there is a certainty of an expectation that you can hold on to. But at the same time, there's an anticipation of the excitement that is associated with what those promises are actually going to look like when they come to fruition. So we're not just talking about salvation. We can all imagine what heaven's going to be like one day. But there are some key things that will happen. What is tomorrow going to look like? With anticipation, you can hold it. And that's what's building your faith. Faith starts with us believing in God's character. You have to have a revelation of what God's character is. You can't necessarily believe if you don't understand the character who you are placing your trust in. And what happens is through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have a revelation of God's character. And you need that revelation, because if you don't have that revelation, I could stand here all day and preach about God's character. But the reality is, it will make it very difficult to believe until you've had that revelation inside and you've truly experienced and know that you know that you know what God's character is. And once you believe, once you have that sense of belief in God's character, that He is trustworthy, that He is the perfect Father that has a plan for you and that wants you to succeed. He wants you to succeed in His kingdom. Then you can start to move on to the next step, which is believing in His promises. And when you believe in His promises, even though they have not yet materialized or they've not bared fruit, that is true faith. Okay, so the one thing about true faith, though, is that it's constantly evolving. It constantly grows. But to give you a scenario, the only way I can think of describing this is recently, 10 weeks ago, I got married, as some of you all know. And it is quite a joyous time in my life. But the one thing that I'll tell you about marriage is I'm not going to preach on marriage today. Apparently, you have to wait 6 months before you can start preaching experience on marriage. So I'm not going to be preaching on marriage. But one thing that I hold dear to my heart was the vows that I made to Mel when we got married. It was marriage, like I would encourage all of you, is something that you really need to take seriously. It's biblical. It's you're making a commitment before God that you're going to love and honor this woman. She's going to love and honor me through sickness and through health for the rest of our lives. So I didn't take this vow very seriously. I mean, I did take it seriously, but I really wanted to understand the character of the person before I made the vow to them. So Mel and I dated, and maybe some people will say we dated too long, but I thought we dated just the right amount of time. And we had coffees, and we would get to know each other, and we would get to understand each other's character. I could understand that Mel was steadfast in her faith. I knew that she came from generations of a family that had generations of faith in them. It was ingrained in her. I knew that she was in some ways stubborn, but at the same time, I knew she had a beautiful voice. I knew she had amazing values, and I knew she had so much to offer. This was a character that I came to understand and I came to appreciate. And because I understood that character, I was willing to trust her that when she said, I promise you that I'm going to love you and hold you and keep you through sickness and through health, and chances are I'll probably die before her, that she made that promise and I can hold her to that. I couldn't give her my trust until I trusted her, and I could only trust her through understanding her character. The thing about faith, though, is it's not something that can stagnate. It's not something that can stand still. So you've got this. It starts off with believing in God's character, the Father who wants the perfect for their child, created in His image. And the other side to it is that now you have to start believing in the promises. But believing is a verb. It's a doing. And when you have faith, you can't just say, okay, I believe, and you move on. It's something that requires action. And as you have action, so your faith starts to grow. And when your faith starts to grow, you're able to uncover more of God's promises. So when you realize that hope is a journey of moving through promises and unwrapping promises from God, faith is the journey, the walking through those various destinations. So walking is not something that is simple. It's not something that you just sit and you move somewhere. You have to consistently move to those destinations. And the only way you're going to receive God's promise that we have hope for is by actually action. Okay, faith without works is dead. So we need to do a couple of things to continue to build out our faith. And just a couple of practical steps that we can look at is, first and foremost, sinking into God's word. Knowing God's word is an important step. Reason being is because the Bible is breathed by God. It is God's word. So that sets a firm foundation of what God's promises are for us, what God's character is like, so we can get a greater understanding. But the thing about the word, it's one thing knowing the word, it's another thing acting on it. So there's another action over there. It's no point just go into the Word through, you come to church and you learn about the Word, or you spend time in your quiet time. This is something that needs to be acted on. Following God's commandments. Following the ways of the Bible. Reflecting the light of Christ. Becoming more like Christ is key to what the Bible, following the Bible, we become more like Christ. That is what God wants for us. The other part in which we can build our faith is prophecy. So I'm not going to preach too much about prophecy or how we interpret prophecy, but there are people who have been blessed to prophesy over one's life. And one always has to exercise caution when they receive a prophetic word. You always hear of these cults that happen, and I'm not speaking about that. I'm speaking about a God-spoken word that someone has been blessed with. And what I enjoy about prophecy is that it gives me those little picks. You know, when you're climbing up a waterfall or an ice glacier. I've never done it. I've only seen it. But you're climbing up and you're pecking. And what I find prophetic words do for me is they provide the pecks and the spikes on the shoes. They allowed me to hold onto something that I know is slippery. Life is slippery. There's always adversity. There's always something that happens. But sometimes that prophetic word just gives you that ability to move on. It gives you that strength to continue to take the next step. The other side is learning from your past. The beauty about faith growing is that we can rely on faith and how God came to us in the past and came through for us in the past to take greater steps into the future. That amazes me. I've seen, I could sit over here and I think all of you guys could stand up and give testimony after testimony of how God has come through for you. What I'm encouraging you to do is use that. You know, when your faith sometimes subsides, look back on how God has come through for you. Look back on how that perfect character of God came through for you each and every time, providing for you and you alone, so that you may fulfill your plans and the purposes that He has for you. So I encourage you, maybe even document them, write them down. Write down when God has given you a testimony of His faithfulness. Write it down so that when you are weak, you can read it and you can be inspired that God has His hand on your life. The other side is surrounding yourself with people who testify. I'm always encouraged when people come up over here and they testify of God's goodness in their life. And it just gives me hope because I'm fully aware that God loves each of us in an immeasurable way. But I can appreciate that if God is working in Kesha's life, I know that He's working in mine. And if He's working in Cole's life, I know that He's working in mine, and it just gives me a great deal of it builds my faith. It builds my faith that God is coming through for me and will be there to meet my unique needs. Not looking at the outcome of necessarily the testimony, not necessarily what was provided to them, but the fact that they were provided for. And having that idea that God provided for me just gives me hope that I can wake up and I can work with the confidence and the faith that I move into the promises that God has in store for me. And then another one is just looking at people. Sometimes when you find yourself in church, when you find yourself outside of church, realize that you are all influencing me. And with that comes a great responsibility because I know that I'm influencing people. So just by living out your daily life in faith gives me, inspires me, influences me to follow in your footsteps. What is it that Tom's doing that I'm not, that he has this air of comfort? This air of comfort knowing that God has provided for him. It might not be that he's out of adversity. It might not be that he is not going through storms or there's currents that are trying to make him to drift. But the reality is he has firmly centered in his position to God that has given him the ability to take each day as a step of faith. And I encourage you to watch people and be inspired by how they do it, those people of faith. I always find in the business that it's surrounding myself with Christian businessmen and hearing some powerful testimonies of how God has come through for them has absolutely amazed me. There's been some times where it's you kind of losing your faith in what's going on, and I'll call up a person, I'll say, can you remind me of that time? Can you remind me of that time that God came through for you when the Russians funded your entire project? When you were down and out and there was a line of credit that was extended to you? Again, I'm not comparing to what was provided, but it reminds me that there is a provider that wants to provide for you. So how do we bring this all together? So we've got hope, which is the hope of destiny, and then also destinations. Destinations are the promises that unravel as we move along in life in faith. And then what we've got is faith, which is the activity of moving through these promises that God has for us. God longs for a relationship with us. He absolutely desires a relationship with us. It was from the beginning, and he needed to restore it when we messed it up. But the reality is, he constantly is pursuing us. And it is in God's perfect will that we find hope, and it's in that hope that we activate our faith. Hope gives us something to look forward to. Hope is something that we can look forward to as a destiny. There is an eternity beyond what we just see over here. Hope is something that we can look forward to with an expectant heart, with that expectation that God will come through, because God is truth. Through the revelation of these promises, we activate our faith. And through that faith, we have the opportunity to grow that faith. And when we grow that muscle, when we grow it as a muscle, it gets stronger. And through our faith, through our strength, we have the ability to move those mountains and influence people. When you hear of miracles of how people have been touched and they've been healed, it's by faith. It is by absolute faith, knowing that God wants the best for his people. And when we're speaking about mountains, these are mountains that we find every day in our life. When we see something where there has been a roadblock, we see these as mountains. But through faith, we have the ability to move them. And I encourage you to continue to exercise faith, because as you exercise it, it becomes a stronger muscle. We become stronger in it. It's like a baby that it starts off as an infant and it can't really move. But it's surrounded by people that are constantly moving and fulfilling their purpose. And through being surrounded by people, they look, they get inspired, they have got the ability to move. They've been given these muscles, they've been given these bones, just like we've been given certain amounts of faith. And as we start to move around, so the baby starts to move as well. And then what happens is the baby will turn over onto its tummy, and then slowly but surely it will start to crawl and walk and then run. And then as it runs with strength. And with that, there's an expectation to fulfill a purpose. And that's very much how we are with faith. It starts off small. It starts off really small. Small as a mustard seed. That's all you need. But as you grow it, as you develop it, slowly but surely, we move our small mustard seed into something where we can crawl with faith. And then we can slowly but surely walk with faith. And as we walk in, there might be a wobble that comes along the way and we fall over, but we get up. And then as we get up, we start to run. And then as we start running with our faith, the possibilities through God are exponential. Faith and hope, they are just so influential. They have the ability to change lives, not just for you. Realize that when we look at people that are as influencers, we too are being looked at. So when you've got this, when you've got faith and hope, the first part is looking at, yeah, you know, you can testify in God's goodness, and God's goodness will provide hope to people who have yet to receive the good news. But when you start living out your faith on a day-to-day basis, that's when you have the opportunity to influence people to walk in the steps that you're following, so that they too may have the revelation of God's promises. Faith and hope are not stagnant. They are dynamic. They are constantly moving. They are constantly growing. It is not just one destination. You cannot sit still and say, well, I'm saved, so nothing else needs to happen. That is not God's plan. That is not God's word. We have got salvation, but at the same time, we've got purpose in God's kingdom. Purpose in God's kingdom that is going to unwrap a whole bunch of promises for us. Promises that are going to help others and lead to other promises. But through that, there is the key part of faith. The activity of both faith and hope working together give us a steadfast confidence in God. That confidence that we can believe in His promises and that awakens us to fulfill purpose. So maybe I'll just get the musicians to come up. We read from Hebrews 11:1, and it speaks of faith is the confidence of what we hope for. And if you go on to verse 2, what you find is that they speak of people of old who have got a great reputation for their faith. And they go through Moses and Abraham and Abel and Enoch. And the list goes on about all these people who exercised their faith. And they now develop this reputation of how they are going to, that reputation has allowed others, has provided hope for others, has encouraged others to move. Those were the people of old. And I think when they were doing it, they didn't realize that they were going to deliver this reputation. They were going to have this reputation. They didn't realize that 2,000 years later, 2,018 years later, we would still be speaking about them as a reputation. And I want to ask you today, how many of you want that reputation? How many of you want the reputation of the steps of faith that you have taken that is going to be a mark, that is going to help others in the future, that is going to influence others, that is going to lead them to that revelation of God's promises? You know, I just have to sit over here. I mean, I just have to stand over here and see you guys sitting. And many of you have inspired me for what you do and how you do it. And you already have a reputation and you don't know it. You know, I look at Carl and Min, and I think that at the stage when you left, you packed up everything, you left your stuff in a container, you came across to Canada, and that was a massive step of faith, following what you felt God was calling you for. For you, for me, you have a reputation of steps of faith that you have taken. And who knows where that would go? Who knows where that would go, whether it would be Andrew or Ivan's kids one day that are doing something massive, or maybe it'll be this generation. But it was that step of faith that we go back down the lineage and say, remember Cole and Min made that choice to come to Canada. For me, that is absolutely special. Dave, you at the back over there, I remember praying with you as for your faith for a job. And I've never had to be in that position. Thankfully, I've never had to be in that position. But I remember coming out of that prayer and you testifying about God's faithfulness. The steps of faith that you took gave you the reputation of a man that has faith. Cornell and Keith, you guys taking the steps to come to Canada as well. Then you get over here, you've got one part of God's plan and it changes, and you have to follow that. The faith that you took to follow that. Cornell, for you, the faith to follow your husband in what his plan was. You've developed a reputation for me of being a faithful wife. A faithful wife that is listening to a husband and still questioning, but listening. And that inspires me. That encourages me. That gives me, that for you is a reputation. Brian and Val at the back. The steps that you took, you testified it last week, to go to Africa. And everybody's saying around you, what on earth are you doing? Why are you taking your kids there? And yet you did it. And you look at the changing pieces that are happening in Africa because of the steps of faith that you took. You both have a reputation for me of people that take giant steps of faith. Jack and Bev. We go through some tough times when you finished your business years back. And man, some of the stuff that happened over there, you need a pretty big anchor to give you that hope of what's going to happen in your life. When everything's been rocking, when the waves are crashing over your life, yet you stood steadfast in your hope was firmly founded in God. And for me, both of you have a reputation to which I look and saying, no matter what happens in business, no matter what may happen, no matter what can come and pull the rug underneath your feet, God will always be there and God will provide for you. And you can stand up today and testify that. Suzanne, man, the amount of times we have to pray for you, and I love it. I love it. Every time there is a call for someone to is someone who needs prayer, whether it's you, whether it is Matthew, whatever it is, you just constantly have a faithfulness that God is going to provide for you. You constantly have a faithfulness that God is working in your children's lives, that God is working in the pain that you are experiencing right now. You, ma'am, have got a reputation for me that no matter what happens, no matter if you are sick, no matter if your kids are wherever, God will reach them. Because that is your faithfulness that you are leading me to. And I thank you for that. And you carry that reputation with pride. And I can go on. Like, I really could. We are the big enough size over here today that we can just continue going through. Kish, man, the amount of people, we were speaking about you the other day. You brought more people to this church than I think anybody collectively together. And it's because something is inside of you. You believe in the character of God. You believe in the character of God, but slowly but surely you are believing in the promises that He has for your life. And I want to encourage you to continue to grow that strength of faith. Grow that muscle. Because you have the opportunity to do good things and influence people. Influence people in ways that none of us will possibly ever be able to reach. So I encourage you. You are very quickly developing a reputation for me of a man that comes over here. And I don't know how many church services you go to on a Sunday, but that is encouraging. Okay. I don't know where you guys are today. I don't know where you are on the spectrum of hope. I don't know where you are on the spectrum of faith. Maybe you don't have hope. Maybe you don't necessarily understand the character of God. You understand what He's doing in your life or the promises that He has in your life. Or maybe you don't have God as that anger. Well, you don't have hope that is connecting you to God, that is holding you steadfast when adversity comes. But on the other side of the spectrum, you could have amazing amounts of hope. You could have indestructible amounts of faith. I know that there are people across the spectrum over here this morning. So I ask you, I say, if you do not have hope, if you are dwindling in your faith, if you need someone who has hope and has faith to come around and pray for you, I'm saying to you, take the steps of faith and come, let's pray. If there is something where you feel as though it is just the waves are crashing over and you just, those currents are coming, I'm telling you now, push through, come up and let people surround you so that they can renew your faith. They can touch you in a way so that God can give you a revelation of His promises that He has for you and you alone. Can we just stand, please? As we close out a song, I'm gonna ask you, if you do have a dwindling hope, a dwindling faith, if there are things that are troubling you, where you feel as though you need to reconnect to the almighty power of God, come, let us pray for you. Let the people who have got hope, let the people who have got faith, whether it be the faith that can move mountains or the faith that is just little bits, doesn't matter. Come and take a step out in faith and let us pray with you. Amen.